Welcome to another fine edition of the Art and Span Show podcast. What's going on? It's Art. Super excited about this one. If you don't know about Watain, they are a Swedish black metal band and a band that has a lot of controversy, and they are a very polarizing band. I found out about Watain through one of my friends. He was like, you have to check this band out. They're insane. I listened to them and I was like, wow, this is interesting. This is a different side of black metal while still paying homage to the black metal legends. And then I went to YouTube and I looked them up online and was completely shocked, horrified, and intrigued of the whole element that Watain brings to every single show. Since then, I've been trying to do everything I could to see them live. And obviously, you know, a band's playing overseas that come over to the States, it's like you need to go to the show because you don't know how many times it's going to happen again. And especially with Watain, because when they traveled over here for the shows with Morbid Angel and everything, their guitarist actually got sent back. They said, no, sorry, we looked through your phone and we found offensive pictures, and we go into it more in the details with my interview with Eric from Watain. But I will warn you, if you are sensitive to blood and guts and morbid stuff, this podcast may not be the one for you. But it is very interesting for me to be able to sit down and talk with Eric from Watain. He doesn't do many interviews, and the fact that I had the opportunity to do an interview with him, I'm forever grateful for. People have certain energies or auras about them. Like, you know how you meet someone and you're like, you kind of just have this aura about you. And that was definitely the case with Eric. It was like, whew, this is heavy. He definitely lives what he is about. I have no doubt about that. And seeing them live was something that I'll never forget. It was just such a unique and awesome experience. Without further ado, this podcast, real quick, brought to you by Charlotte Shoe Repair. If you have not picked up your boots from Charlotte Shoe Repair, for one, shame on you. For two, you got to keep your feet warm. You want to keep your feet comfortable and looking good. There's no better place to go to than Charlotte Shoe Repair in downtown Charlotte. Without further ado, here is my interview. Again, parental discretion advice. Watain, Eric from Watain on the Art and Span Show podcast. Enjoy. Michigan's Rock Station Q106. We are hanging out before the Watain show with Eric from Watain. How are you, sir?
Right, I'm doing pretty well.
Good, good. And obviously on tour with Morbid Angel. How's the tour been going so far? You guys are on the tail end of it, correct?
We're about a little bit more than halfway. Mm-hmm. I think we've got 11 shows left as of today. We did about 15. So now it's plowing on. It's pretty much what we hoped for it to be, you know?
Yeah, and we'll get the TMZ drama out of the way and get to the more important questions. But obviously dealing with losing a guitarist for this tour,
right?
What was that experience like? Because obviously coming to a country that is supposed to be free and dealing with the troubles with border and everything like that, what was that experience like as a whole?
Well, I'd like to say that it was a new experience. It wasn't really. It's not definitely not the first time we encountered that kind of a situation. It's probably definitely not the last either,
right?
You know, so I think what it does is just that it's, you know, everything that you've been planning for, like, I mean, as far as me and Pello are concerned, we work, I mean, 3 months,
right,
every day before a tour, you know, like,
yeah,
prepare everything from what we're going to have on the stage to the set list to, of course, obvious things like rehearsing and
right,
logistics, crew members and everything like that. So
yeah,
once we got to know that Pello wasn't coming, and all of that gets a bit like thrown up into the air, and you got to be ready to just catch the pieces as they're falling down again, you know. But we made it work, and we made the decision to go anyway, because we felt like we could still do something that properly represented where Watain is at right now, you know. So
I feel like the reasoning too is such a ignorant reason. He didn't commit any crimes. He didn't do anything that was illegal. They literally looked at his phone, saw some pictures, investigated the band, and sent him back, correct?
Right. And, I mean, from what I hear, you know, from what our lawyers tell us and so forth, I mean, it's like it's definitely a very debatable decision. But mm-hmm, on the other hand, they're not surprised at all, because people down there, you know, this is the border police in Georgia. dealing with a guy coming in from Mexico looking like a, I don't know, looking like trouble, I suppose. And yeah, I mean, they're told to be, they're told to be nervous. They're told to be on it. They're told to be like very suspicious towards everything. And then situations like this is going to happen.
Right. What in your opinion is the biggest difference between a U.S. audience and an overseas audience?
Oh, the audience?
Yeah, the audience itself.
Oh man, that's a very hard thing to reply. I mean, for me, touring in the U.S. is like touring like Europe, you know. Every day is going to be different. Okay. Totally, you know. I mean, the Texas audience is wild as in the Southern California. You got a lot of Mexicans coming, which is obviously great, you know. They're wild. Up in, yeah, I mean, you got different kids coming out every night. Yeah. Really, you know, it's like coming to a different country every night, I would say.
Yeah.
As apart from that, everyone speaks the same language and, like, have to, I don't know, deal with the same, right. I guess, you know, as far as, like, as far as laws and all of that goes. But it's a beautiful country to tour in the sense that, you know, you can really sense that there's there's a hunger and there's frustration and there's a lot of, like, there's a lot of, you know, I think yearning for a kind of like individual independence. I think we get that a lot, you know, when talking to fans outside the venues and so on, or at the shows. Like, it's you really get a feeling that, like, people are very cautious about their own independence and their own, you know, integrity and things like that. So at least our crowd, you know.
Yeah.
And so that's always like a good kind of basic setting to right. go from, right? Like, when you know you're performing in front of people like that, you know you're, you know,
you're doing something right.
Right.
Now, what I've noticed about your band that is so unique is the disciple following that you have too.
Right.
And obviously,
yeah.
there's chapters all over the world, and not only that, but the offerings that they bring you too. And it's just such a unique thing that not many bands have as a, you know, not to sound cliche, but a cult following.
Right.
What is your interpretation of that, and did you expect that to happen when you started the band?
Well, we definitely didn't expect that when we started the band. I guess we didn't really expect anything at all, apart from the three of us doing everything we could, you know, to make it into something. Everything that came along and was added on throughout the years was all quite unexpected, you know. That's the beauty of it all. I mean, it's all being in a band like this is a very unpredictable situation that can unfold, as we have seen now, in all kinds of ways.
Right.
And again, that I think is one of the, like, things that I really like about it. But to come back to the disciples, I think I'd like to think that the, you know, the dedication and the devotion of that of the club is a reflection of how we do things, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of our diehard fans are, I guess they kind of take something out of our attitude and, you know, our way of approaching the band, you know, and kind of adapt that to what could easily be called like a fan club scenario, but that they made into something way beyond that.
Yeah, it's deeper. It's so, to me, it's so much deeper. And
yeah, but you have it right there, because, like, you know, sure, Vatain is a band like any other band, but it's also something way more, you know. Mm-hmm. And the Disciples Club, sure, you can call it a fan club, but it's also something way more. So I think that's the angle, you know. And it's I mean, the club is a thing on its own. It's not run by the band. It's run by people close to us, but it's not run by the band. And I mean, all the internal workings, such as, like, when people come out with offerings and so on to the show, which is kind of known outside of the club. It's like a known phenomena, but what's known kind of stops there as well. I mean, all of the club politics are internal things, and that's, you know, we deal with all the club related business within the club, and that's that, you know.
Yeah. Now, obviously, this is my first show experience seeing you guys live, and I've been wanting to go for years and years, but there's always stuff that's gotten in the way, so I'm very excited for the show tonight. But I also am curious as to how, you know, there's the blood, there's the fire, there's the production of it, and we live, especially in America, a very sensitive PC culture. What, in your opinion, makes you keep going with that? Because it's so easy to just conform and be like, oh, you know, we'll take the blood. But you guys haven't. You guys have continued and continued because it's an artistic form of the band.
Yeah.
But why is that it's so important to you?
Well, you know, I mean, when speaking about it in these kind of terms, you know, you're talking about a modern, you call it PC society, and then on the other hand, we got this thing that we're doing that I don't really know how that relates to PC, but more like it's not a very modern thing that we're doing. I suppose it's maybe quite on the contrary. Maybe it's something we're dealing with quite like primal, ancient things here. You know, that is what the blood is. That is what the fire is. That is what the noise that we make on stage is. That is what the lyrics are. They're all very non-modern things by themselves.
No, I think what I meant, like the politically correctness, PC.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. I get it. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'm not that super familiar with that term and exactly what it implies. But to put it like this, I mean, all the things that we're doing are, of course, going to be on a kind of a collision course with a modern world. Mm-hmm. There's, of course, going to be situations where we're going to have to deal with people at venues, for example, that are way used to more like, I don't know, ordinary modern day life kind of rock and roll setups, you know, and we're not really like that. So, of course, we there's a lot of interesting situations every day occurring on the road. But on the other hand, we got a super professional booking team and a tour logistics team behind us that try to make sure that those situations do not escalate into something that, you know, where we couldn't do.
Well, and I think it's putting you in the venues and places that respect your art and respect who you guys are as a band.
There's definitely like dialogue before a tour is booked, like where we could actually do what we want to do.
Now, obviously, you know, there's major differences, at least in my opinion, between The Wild Hunt and then Wolf Clips. Listening to those albums and moving forward with the band, what is expected? Because it's such a different sound between 2013 and 2018 for the band.
Well, I mean, compare God of Emptiness with Morbid Angel to the stuff from their first demos. I mean, there's always got to be a, as far as I'm concerned, you know, if you do something that is truly from your heart, that you're not writing albums for record labels or you're not writing albums for magazines, but if you keep on doing it for yourself and for the people that appreciate it, I think there's always going to be a sense of progression. There's always going to be things going on all the time. You can't just stay in the same place doing the same thing all over again. I think what's really important is like trying not to look at it as, you know, here's another album and compared to the last one, it's like this. You know, I try to never look at it like that. I think every Watain album is very much about where the band is at right at that point in time, you know. And with The Wild Hunt, we were far out at sea on that one, you know, like in so many ways.
Yeah.
In so many ways, you know, and in a good way, definitely, but still, you know, pretty far out.
Well, and I think the numbers show for it, too, because for that album, one of the most popular songs, like on all the streaming services and everything, is a slower song.
Yeah, and that's weird as fuck.
It is.
That's like, you know, that's a kind of an annoying reality I have to deal with.
Is it?
Because, you know what happened? I think with that song, with They Wrote On, it got so much attention, and sure, I get it, you know. In hindsight, I get it, but that really wasn't the plan at all. It was just going to be there, and like, here's something different.
Does it
well.
Irritate you because, in your opinion, that isn't a representation of the band as a whole?
It irritates me because people seem to be interested in it just because it sticks out, and that's a little bit like, if you want to know what Watain is about, that's not your point of entry.
That's not the first thing you would point out.
And so that's a little bit annoying. But on the other hand, it's like, you know, I think once people start to realize a little bit, you know, about what kind of band they're dealing with and approaching, then, you know, they'll get it eventually.
Yeah. What is a couple more questions, if I may. What is something on, because obviously living this lifestyle, people think that you are Eric from this metal band that spits blood and fire, but you have a different side to you as well, obviously. What is something on your playlist, on your musical playlist, that fans would not expect that you listen to?
Oh, that they would not expect?
Yeah, an artist
or... Shit. I mean, what do they expect? I don't know. Do they expect that I only listen to like raw black metal?
I think
stuff?
Well, and I think that's a generalization. All but right. Like if
that's the case, some of the latest stuff that I've been listening to, I really love this band from Australia called Emil and the Sniffers.
Okay,
which is like a kind of old school punk rock band with a really good vocalist. It's usually like my girlfriend, she turns me on to most new music. I'm a bit of like an old like caveman when it comes to music, but she turns me on to this all this new stuff. And it's a lot like, there's also this band called Surfboard from New York that is also like a punk band.
Okay.
That I really like. And what else? Okay, something that they really...
Yeah, like are you an Adele fan? Do you know who Adele is?
No.
No? Okay, that's good.
But there's a Swedish band called First Aid Kit that I like a lot.
Okay.
They're doing, like, traditional country music. Two girls that have fucking beautiful voices and write really beautiful music.
Yeah.
A fourth one would be Anna von Hauswolf, who is touring with Swans later, I think, early next year in the States.
Mm-hmm.
I love Swans, but and Anna's music really makes, like, perfect sense in that environment, I think, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, I listen to a lot of different shit.
It's not just black metal or dark metal 24/7.
Definitely not, but I'd say my record collection, like my physical record collection is, I don't know, 70% black and death metal.
Mm-hmm.
70% metal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the rest would be like punk and noise industrial stuff and so on. Yeah.
What are the plans for the band for 2020 and moving forward?
So once every now and then we put a halt to everything, like we put a date, like after this we don't make any plans.
Mm-hmm.
And we try to do that around this New Year's Eve.
So it's going, taking a break.
Yeah, kind of, but it's going so and so because we already got coming up. So
yeah,
we're gonna announce the three last shows for Trident Wolf Eclipse during 2020.
Okay.
Out of which one is gonna be in the States.
Oh, that's awesome.
In August. But we're close to finalizing the third of these three, and then we're going to announce them all at the same time.
Okay.
So obviously that allows for a lot of other room for other stuff to delve into during next year. We've been working on a movie for the past 2.5 years. That's
awesome.
That's looking pretty grim right now in a good way.
Yeah.
And,
like a documentary?
Something along those lines.
Okay.
Yeah. Like kind of like a year and a half in the life of Metallica, but with a morbid touch to it.
Okay, but so not like Mayhem where they did the whole had the actors and everything. It's going to be you guys then, correct?
Yeah. No, okay. Definitely not
okay.
Like that. Yeah,
I just want to make sure. Yeah.
No, sure. No, it's like a documentary based movie. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that there's so much interesting things about the band that people don't know about or may not know about, and I feel like that documentary is going to greatly help showcase your true selves.
Right. I want to do it because I want to have something to refer to when people just want to have, like, an overall idea about what this band actually is.
And not have it be just they wrote on.
Right. You know, like, I mean, if you read one interview from some year in some magazine, you get a totally different idea from this other one a few years later. So I think a movie like that where people actually have got to sit down and watch things and, like, take it to them for two hours without much distraction, you know. I think that's the way to go, and since Vatain is also a very visual band, I like to take the visual element into it as well, like to the storytelling and like, yeah.
Well, I'm excited for the show. I can't wait. Thank you so much, Eric, for your
time.
Eric from Vatain on Q106.